Thank you so much for joining us today, Hartley.
Hi, how are you, Ruby?
Oh, I'm fantastic. How about you?
I'm feeling wonderful. It's a World AIDS Day, so it's a huge day for us in the LGBTIQA community.
Of course, absolutely.
And obviously, it's a, after you, of course.
No, please. I would love to hear what you have
to
say.
Very exciting. It's very much a for all of those who have died. So remembering all of our absent friends, of course, and family members that have passed away. Because essentially, that's what World AIDS Day was set up for initially, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
a day of remembrance, of
course.
Yeah.
So and being progressive in the way that we view much of how things are in this day and age, like it's very much the programs and services, they're all moving in the right direction.
Yeah, perfect. And what has this year been like? I'm going to say not only for those at risk of HIV, but those living with HIV.
Well, everyone, people like myself that are living healthy lives with HIV, well, it's very much a... there seems to be an increase, so particularly within much of the heterosexual community, so which is quite a surprise. Right.
I mean, well, absolutely, with all the propaganda of the old days with HIV being the gay virus, it's very interesting.
Isn't it? Like, for us to be able to see what the statistics are, like, it's very easy for us to log on to any of the Australian ABS, the Australian Bureau of Statistics. We can gather that information or data from the website. Side information, of course. Then there's the likes of just logging onto the normal the Google as part of a reference. So what we can see that there is a dramatic increase, particularly within the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community. And I just wanted to say very, very quickly, if I may, Ruby.
Absolutely.
Acknowledgement to all the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation as part of a I'm from a completely different part of Australia, but always like to acknowledge those who are original custodians of this country. So.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And so one of the big issues that you've been looking at tackling is social inclusion or other isolation of those living with HIV. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, like social inclusion. Social inclusion, as I understand it, and with many thanks to everyone in New South Wales, particularly for tuning in. Thank you to 2SER for allowing us to come in and share our knowledge. It's very much social inclusion, as I understand it. When a person is diagnosed with HIV, there's a period that we go through, so that you can either go through the denial period, you can go through the acceptance period, or you can go through the process of just being able to get on with it. And social inclusion is, as I understand, is very much, if we were to see you at any of the venues, say on Oxford Street, because that's predominantly known as the pink strip, isn't it?
Of course, Sydney's the gay capital of Australia and Oxford Street's the gay capital street,
something,
I guess.
Something like that. And then like in other states, like obviously when we're on air regards to everyone, it's very much a way to include those that are living healthy lives, depending on what one's viral detection load is. So when there are those, and that can only be gauged by those who are practitioners within the field, and only those that are certified or those that are accredited within the field. What they do is they can monitor as to whether your viral loads are at an acceptable level. When you say to somebody as part of the social inclusion subject matter, I've got HIV, would you? And you meet them at one of the strips or one of the venues along Oxford Street. It's either a yes or a no as to whether the dating process
it's very 50-50.
Progresses.
Yeah, because like a lot of people I've spoken to or read the stories of who are HIV positive, there is this kind of like internal monologue when they are dating where it's like it's it's 50-50. Either like someone's going to be okay with it or they're just going to stop talking to me. So it's really interesting.
It's amazing. So that's the social inclusion.
Yeah.
Sadly, and I look to the left when I say that, sadly, there are a lot of those that are very much, once you disclose what your status is, a lot of people in this day and age prefer not to sort of engage with you in an intimate context.
Because of the fear-mongering behind it.
And as to whether I wouldn't call it as part of prejudicial. I wouldn't call it as part of like discriminative a process. I'd say it's more so protection of one's own health and well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless, of course, there's the knowledge as to, if I connect with somebody that's HIV positive, people like myself, for example, does that mean that everything will be, will I contract anything? Like if I connect with you intimately?
Mm.
So to ensure, because there are legislations in place and it's important to disclose what your status is if you're to engage in any kind of behaviour, just to give the person that you're connecting with a heads up, particularly in terms of them being able to siphon through or to really think through, do I want to go that next step with this person?
Mm.
So I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And particularly if there are those that they may be a part of one community, then they want to be a part of another community.
Yeah.
And all of those, they may just want to be a part of the heterosexual community, and depending on who the person is, they might just want to catch up with them, not to sign a mortgage or anything like that. But
of course.
Yeah, so I think it depends on what one's level of understanding is, what one's level of ability to accept how comfortable they are with being who they want to be before welcoming you in.
Yeah. And so, Hartley, you've worked in so many areas of HIV awareness. Why exactly are you so passionate about this issue?
Well, I would say it's an interesting one. Very much working within the sector, keeping everything within the parameters of I think this is a general listening, like the programming between 8 and 8. So I would say to support everyone who works within as a client, also as a director and a peer within the sector, it's a very much a way of ensuring and completely all clear, ensuring that everyone that's working within the HIV and AIDS sector are being supported for all the wonderful work that they're doing. And for many years, as far as disclosing what my status was within the network, and I've had the same partner for 25 years. It's actually our silver anniversary.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah, so, it's very much an open arrangement these days.
But, yeah, of course.
25 years, and thank you to the women, of course. It's very much a case of being able to. Just to get on with life, support those that are working hard within a network, particularly with acknowledgement to all of the international health pandemic, and completely clear, of course, being able to accept that there are some really intelligent people that work within our sector that have got an absolute strong knowledge base.
Mm.
As to what programs are effective or ineffective, and I look to the left when I say that, then you've got all of the programs that are very much, they can be improved on. They set up people like retreats. They love retreats. So as part of all of that, Ruby, what they do is they allow people living with HIV to all come together. And in the past, we've been able to go up to the home of the Sea Eagles, and that's on the North Shore, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And so they'd have like a range of activities where people can come together, talk about what their experiences are. There are people on hand at all times. As a family support worker, I worked for a corporation in Western Australia. It's and everything above board and respect, of course, to the Wanganing Aboriginal Corporation. And whilst working there as a family support worker, I'd be posted at any of the maximum security prisons. So seeing how that all is and seeing what the entire process is, people over towards Dulwich Hill and the Camperdown areas and those that are working within networks, whether it be the adult kind of network, and just seeing what it is that these programs are reaching out for, and as to how well people are receiving them. So to answer the question in full, I would say it's very much being able to accept, being able to disclose, being able to, I would say, siphon through all of those that are that genuinely like you as a person, and they can look beyond the fact that as an adult within the 8 to 8 time frame, they can look beyond and think, oh, well, you're really, you're quite an all right person. And no need to sign a mortgage, but yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And as long as everyone's, I worked formerly for the Sex Workers Outreach Program, otherwise known as SWOF, and regards to, I think, Mr. Cox, who's one of the head people over there at the moment, I believe. And a huge hello to Joe Holden, who was our manager when working there. It's very much a to ensure that everyone is engaging in safe sex practices.
Yeah.
That is something that we always have to promote as part of our work, as part of our duty, as part of our duty of care, as part of our obligation, particularly if we're working in the field. So we can see people working at the higher echelon. We can see people working at the low or the social, the low socioeconomical economics as part of what is known to them as part of their life and what it is that they do. And some people are just fantastic at what they do.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. So I think it's very much a, just being able to accept and work through what's important to not only yourself, but partner and friends of, to ensure that people are all being respected in the highest of light. So
beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Hartley.
Thank
it's been
you
really,
for
really
the interview.
Great chat.
And a huge hello to everyone, like from 2SER. I work for another radio station, but I'm not going to give them the plug here. All right. Thanks very much. And for your support for the World AIDS Day, in final, prior to your closing, it's very much a it's a day to remember. Many of us wouldn't be where we are today if we didn't have programs and services set up to ensure that all clients that are in delivery, all of these wonderful opportunities is in receipt, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you.